The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Pastor Ken Hutcherson shares his long struggle with cancer.
I have learned that cancer is my pastor.
He is joined by his wife, Pat, who herself was recently diagnosed with breast cancer.
It's a matter of now walking, like I've been walking. It's not any different except that it's me now.
I said, I never quit anything in my life, and I got hope. Mm. I walk with God, and as long as I got hope, I'm going to make sure other people can catch it.
Hope is contagious. Next.
Thank all of you so much for being with us. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. Betty and I are still, and it's challenging, we're still Cowboy fans.
Yes.
Yeah, and you've always been the one that
I'm
just...
I'm a better fan than you are.
Yeah, you are.
I stick with them.
You don't give up. I like to cheer for, you know, good. And when it's not good, it just, it breaks my heart, you know. And I don't necessarily give up. I just think, let's get it fixed, you know. And you try to coach them, even though they can't hear you. But we've got a former Dallas Cowboy middle linebacker, Ken Hutcherson, and his wife, Pat, with us. She is a tremendous blessing, and he is. He also played, let me tell you something, he played for Seattle, and he played for San Diego, and he pastors Antioch Bible Church east of Seattle. And this man, I'm telling you, I respect, admire, and love as much as anybody I've met. Here's someone who is willing to really have a prophetic voice in a time of tremendous need to hear the truth. He holds up a standard. And I really appreciate him. But the thing you need to know, that while he is on this journey in divine assignment to proclaim the Word of God and live it out, he's been fighting cancer for many years. And just in the last days, he found out his wife is now going to battle. And I want you to welcome Ken and Pat Hutcherson to Life Today. Would you welcome them?
Thank you, Ken and Pat.
I'm so glad to see you. You both have a holy glow. You do.
We appreciate it.
You know, you have a joy that is absolutely obvious. And you and I just visited. We've had a meal together and talked. And I know the battle that you're in. I want you to help our viewers, because there's not a person watching us, in my opinion, Ken, that doesn't have, or you like to be called Hutch, mm-hmm. There's not a person watching that doesn't either have a battle, a family member, or someone they really care about mm-hmm. that's in this battle. Mm-hmm. Help our viewers understand how you walk through this valley of the shadow of cancer.
Well, the number one thing that many people don't understand about me and don't understand about us as we walk through this battle. 11 and a half years we've been walking this battle with me, and you know, just starting in the last week to walk with my wife. You know, there's a lot of things you want to be one with your wife in, but you don't want to be one in cancer with her.
No.
And so they have looked at me and said, you've been in this battle. No, it's really not a battle. We're going to pray for your healing. No. If it's not going to make me more like Christ than this cancer is, don't pray for my healing. I have learned that cancer is my pastor. It is my discipler. And when you understand that God trusts you enough to allow you to go through something like this, knowing that you're still going to give him glory, that is the greatest honor in the world that you can have. Mm. And even though I would never have chosen cancer, I know why I have been allowed to have it. It's because growing up as a little boy, I saw many cases in my neighborhood, poor people that would get this disease. No one really knew what it was at times. And then we found out and they would suffer. I was fearful, even as I became a Christian. I could walk through a fire with the worst bunch of gang members with a switch and not be afraid. I'm not afraid of any man or anything that walks on this earth, because I fear my God so much, I don't have any room for any other fear. But boy, that little thing that kept sticking his head out was cancer. And I knew that I could never be like Christ if I didn't get rid of that fear. And God knew I needed to face that fear. And he allowed me to get cancer, to get over that fear, so I could be the man of God, to be like Christ, so I could be the husband and the father of God that I needed to be. So I tell folks, it's not a struggle. It's a molding process that God finds me worthy. It is that has molded me like nothing else could have, because nothing bothered me. Life, trouble, people that hated me, and there's been many, you know, if you know my life. It was like water on a duck's back. It didn't bother me. But that little thing of cancer kept me from being like Jesus. So I thank him every day for this blessing of cancer.
When you wrote the book, Hope is Contagious, what is it? You talk about trusting God in the face of any obstacle, and obviously it's a big obstacle, and now then Pat's facing it too.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you want them to hear? What do you mean by hope is contagious? And what's the message that they're going to get when they go through this incredible book?
Well, the number one thing I think we would have to both say is the fact that if you truly believe in God and His Word, how can you truly believe that anything's bad? Because you got the greatest hope. Our home is heaven, not here. We're just visiting. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Right.
And since we are visiting, there's going to be things going to happen to us that's never going to happen to us in heaven. When I see Christ face to face, that's going to be a glorious day.
Absolutely.
And so what happens is you got this hope of glory that any day, if God desires, He can heal you. Any day if He wants to. You got the hope of understanding that there's nothing that's just touching your life that God didn't orchestrate. Romans 8, 28, 29, 30. Do you believe that? That anything that come to us has been filtered through His hand, and if it's going to make you like Christ, that's good. What is bad is going to make you like Christ? There's nothing. And as Christians, we have cheated. My wife and I, we cheated. All right? We read the last chapter. We win. Amen? We read the last chapter of the Bible. We win. Knowing that truth, knowing that hope, knowing that understanding, grabbing hold to Reverend Cancer, my disciple, man, I tell you, we're ready to go. It's nothing like going to church being sick after chemotherapy and throwing up and, you know, and having to make sure you got to clean yourself up and then get up there with some good mouthwash, right? And then preach the Word of God till you get tired. You know, okay, honey, just get me to the car. But I mean, man, yeah, that's just been God, man.
Now, you've watched him these 11 years,
yeah.
Pat, and this is not a put-on, is it? He walking.
No.
It's the real deal, isn't it?
No, yeah.
And you're watching God work.
A lot of people said we should keep it private, we should keep it to ourselves, we should, you know, walk through it privately. Mm-hmm. And that's just not how we ever lived our life, and it felt wrong because you can't, people feel left out. They feel like, you know, they're not learning anything with you as you walk along. And especially if you're the pastors of a church, you should bring people along with whatever the Lord is teaching you. You're the leaders, and they should be, you know, brought along in a way that's kind. And you start from the beginning if you're kind, and you help them walk through it with you.
And that's what, right? He's doing. People may say, well, he just needs a miracle and cancer be healed. He's a living miracle, mm-hmm. because you're not, your counts and levels of were so
Four
high.
4 years ago, they were talking
about to be a miracle to be alive.
Hospice.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing, they said 4 years ago, well, we're going to call hospice.
Yeah.
Right? So that was after 6 years, 6.5 years of cancer. And then my numbers just exploded. A man's PSA numbers is normal 0 to 4. And I was going out to feed the horses one morning and tripped and fell down the stairs in snow. And it put my body in shock. So, you know, after 6 years or so, you're thinking, wow, man, I failed. I went through the bottom of the steps, through the gate, out on the snow. And I'm gonna tell you how much a man is prideful. You know, the first thing popped in my mind when I stopped rolling, I hope nobody saw that. And all of a sudden, I start feeling different. In the next week, I knew something was up, and we need to go to the doctor. And my PSA had got up to 100. You get the triple digits, you know the cancer has escaped, and it's metastasized somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we went in and we got checked with the number one doctor in the world for prostate cancer, and went up to 400, went up to 800, went up to 1,200, went up to 2,000, went up to 2,800, went up to 3,200. I think it finally stopped with 4,200. It was it's my PSA. It stopped at 4,200. You're supposed to be dead when you're getting into the hundreds. Mm. Mm. And if you're not dead, you can't participate. You should be totally incapacitated. And the doctors is looking at me, all the nurses looking at us, and I'm telling them, well, it's prayer. I mean, it's nothing else is keeping me alive. I thank you that you guys got this medicine and we're working together on it, but what's keeping me alive and functioning is prayer. And sure enough, that's been for the last 4.5 years because they said, well, we need to call hospice in. Because I said, I never quit anything in my life, and I got hope. Mm. I walk with God. And as long as I got hope, I'm going to make sure other people can catch it. And that is how we kept going, and that's why we're still going to this very day.
I would say both of you are a living demonstration of how big God wants to be in our lives.
If you got a big, if you got big problems, you got a small God. Yeah. Admit it. And it's nowhere in the world.
We had done high school ministry for 15 years before we even started the church, and I taught myself to study the Bible. And I didn't use anyone's Bible studies to do it. I just taught myself how to study, like I had to teach it to someone. And so you go through and you say, well, in this, what would someone ask me? Would they ask me this question, that question, and have an answer for it, and spend enough time to know how to actually put together your own lessons, you know? And so when you learn how to do that, you realize that God is great. God is good. Mm-hmm. God is good for it. You know, and so when all of this is going on, I mean, you just run back to the thing you know, which is to study the Bible. Mm-hmm. Study it like you need to either take a test on it or like you need to teach it to somebody. Mm-hmm. And what will they ask me? And I need to know the answer to that, so I need to find the answer. And if you study the Bible like that, you don't need anybody else's Bible study, really, to do it. God will teach you what you need to know. And I feel like with what's happened just in the last week, I really don't feel unprepared mm-hmm. at all.
When you get to know the Word, you get to know the God of the Word. Mm-hmm. You know God's Word, you get to know Him.
You and you hear God, and you know that it's God's voice.
When you found out, and with what you've watched, okay, how are you processing it, and what do you see? Just what He's talking about?
Yes, actually, yes. Everything He's saying now makes complete sense to me, and I do actually am not afraid, and it's a matter of now walking like I've been walking. It's not any different, except that it's me now. I'm not watching, I'm doing it.
It's the
same walk.
Have you seen Christ's likeness? You know, the Bible says, you know, all things work together for good to those who love Him. Mm-hmm. I don't really think they work together for good to those who don't love Him.
Absolutely.
It's pretty chaotic.
And I called
you love Him, you called according to His purpose, but He mm-hmm. wants to conform us into the image of His dear Son. So do you see Christ being shaped in Him even through what He's facing?
Yes.
Say yes.
The answer is yes.
Thank you, little coach. Coach,
it has to be yes. I mean, you have to say yes. If you don't say yes to God, what are you doing? I mean, really, what's the point?
But do you see beautiful progress watching
beautiful
him? You've
progress.
Known him a long time. How long y'all
yes.
been married?
28 years.
28 years.
Yeah.
So you actually see the clay being shaped. He's over here.
Oh, yes.
He's over here showing you how good he looks. Or how good but you're seeing the shaping yeah. of a character that would be far beyond Hutch. It's a God shaping.
He's a great pastor, right? And now he's fabulous, really, because you can't do what you're doing and not care about people. I mean,
well, you do. And you know, Hutch, you and I share a real common concern. It's not just something we share. We share something, I believe, that's as much on the heart of God that was on the heart of our Savior and that He prayed for, and that is that there be a spiritual unity.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you and I would never for one moment think that ethnicity, race, nationality, mm-hmm. anything would be reason to divide. Mm-hmm. And we would not even think that a theological discussion or difference would cause us to become chaotic and divisive and have animosity toward one another.
See, no,
we see it, and we believe God wants to heal the divide and bring the family of faith, bring His family together in holy harmony. We really believe that.
See, no one would ever believe that Pat and I would be married if you knew me when I was young. I was one of the most hateful people in the world when it came to white people. Hated you. Did not have any like for you at all. The only reason I went out for football, I lettered in 4 sports every year in high school. I was so good at baseball, I didn't even have to practice. I just played in the games, all right? But guess what sport I chose? Football. Because mm-hmm. in Alabama, that's the only sport I could hurt white people in.
Yeah.
And that's why I excel sure. so greatly. My junior, senior year before I met Christ, they wouldn't even let me practice with pads. I usually had to wear sweats and a helmet because I was hurting too many of my teammates because I was just full of hatred. And then I ran into Jesus. As a purpose, you know, if you don't want to change, don't run into Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So I ran into Jesus, and all of a sudden, I spent 8 years not saying a word to my mother. And I'm the only child. Not one voluntary conversation with my mother, because I blamed her for my grandmother's death, for sending me away for the weekend. And I mean, hatred took over me. And when I met Jesus, you know the first thing Jesus said? He says, I die for you, but I also die for white people. And you're going to have to love who I love. And the first phone call I made was to my mother. The second phone call was getting out and calling my coaches and other teammates that I had hurt. And I changed my life around, and I said that that is what God has called. I do not have to wait to get to heaven before I'm unified with all people of all nationalities. Mm-hmm. And when we walk in the church on Sunday, and everyone looks alike, whether it's black, whether it's brown, yellow, whether it is turquoise, I don't care, and we all look alike, that is not the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my bride. My name's on the marriage certificate with this woman. No man, no one's going to walk in my house and tell me how my wife is going to dress, how she's going to act, how she's going to talk, how she's going to be. That's my responsibility as leader and lover of this lady. But you know what? Everybody thinks they have the right to walk into Christ's bride and tell Christ how his bride's going to act, look, and be. God did not give us the freedom, but that's why we got so many denominations. And that's why we need to come back to the purpose of unity. Mm. Because in unity, we can't be stopped. It is no way we can be stopped if we can learn how to be unified. And man, have I got examples of how that worked.
And I honestly believe that the bad example for not getting along and not loving one another has oftentimes been set in the house of religious associations
Amen.
And relationships.
Amen.
Where we don't really think the prayer of Jesus that we be one is important. And it doesn't mean we compromise. We don't have to compromise
don't have
one
to compromise
word of
either.
God to be one family. We can right. even have healthy disagreements, just
yes.
like you all will have. Betty and I have.
Yes.
50 years of marriage, we had plenty of them. We're still family.
Yeah.
And we've got to learn to do that.
Yeah.
And we got to learn to do that as a nation, or our nation's not going to get well.
God came down in Genesis 11 and saw the people disobeying him, not spreading out, not going how God says, and was building a tower to God, the Tower of Babel. This is the word of God in Genesis 11. Read it, because we as a church need to understand and start living it. And unbelieving, disobedient people, God said, I got to give them different languages to separate them. Because as long as they have one mind, one thought, and it's one people, there is absolutely nothing that can stop them.
Absolutely.
They can just imagine it and accomplish it because they're unified. Can you imagine if we who are Christ's bride can get unified? Just give me one thing to be unified in.
Yep.
What in the world can we accomplish? Because God is looking for people that truly believe that he wants to do great things through unity. That's why we've been losing all the fights in our society today
yep.
and not being the salt of the earth that we're supposed to, because we're running in 15 different directions with our own theology.
But here's the thing we need to understand. God is inviting us into the council and the circle of his wisdom. He said, just come to me. I'll make you one. I'll heal you. I'll direct your steps. I'll correct your thoughts. I will heal your land.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make things right where they're wrong. Hutch, you're a real blessing. Would you
Thank
say
you.
Thanks to Pat and to Hutch for being such a blessing to us? Listen, this book is in the bookstores. Hope is Contagious. Zondervan published the book. Do you have a website if people want to
yes.
know where you are
yes.
and some of the things you've got to say and share?
Hutchpost.org.
Well, let me just say this to you, too. We are going to send it to you today to say thank you, along with Beth Moore's book, Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights. You talk about great Bible insight. We want you to have them. If you'll do one thing, and we're going to ask you to do something. We, of course, want you to pray for the people you're about to see. But I'm asking you to be an answer to a heart cry and a prayer. I'm asking you to give a cup of water in Jesus' name. I think you're going to want to. Watch this.
Then I'll go better. Then I'm before Tony's and I'll be stuck here in ya.
It's absolutely incredible that she would say, I would give my life. But she doesn't have to. We can give her clean water. Betty, we can give that community where she lives a fresh water well. And you and I have already committed to drill a well in that area. There are areas right there of similar circumstances where we need wells. We've committed to drill, with your help, and that's the only way we can do it, just like Betty and I can do something, but to drill 500 water wells. That's how you solve the problem she's concerned about. We are the answer. We hold the answer to their future.
Well, you know, James, as I sit there, because we're grandparents. I'm a grandmother of 11 grandchildren. And she was the prayer that a grandmother would pray for her granddaughter, for her health, for her to have a long life and to be safe. But she doesn't have a choice in the water that she gives her granddaughter. And so that's the problem. We can help solve that problem. She can't. That's why they're crying out for help. Let's do join together and drill these water wells, so that we can be part of the prayer, the answer prayer of that grandmother for her granddaughter.
Yeah, we really are the answer and the hope for the whole community. And if we'll just do our part expressing God's heart. Now, Betty and I said that we asked God years ago to give us the ability to give a well. And that was when we were drilling a well with an emphasis once a year. And then we found the need was so great and the effect was so great, we began to emphasize it twice a year and begin to drill more wells. And we said, God, every time we have the call from the missionaries, we want to be an answer to the prayer. And God enabled us to do that. And we're asking God to enable everybody to do that, that He puts it on their heart. But here's what really works. Because if everybody will just do their part, and this thing I want you to see, it's very significant. $48 of that $4,800, if you will give $48, that's going to give water to 10 people. Because each well services at least 1,000 people. So when you break that down, it's $4.80 for every person. Now, that's a very small amount, but it's a huge, huge blessing. Would you dial that number and say, all right, James, I can do something? $144, 30 people water the rest of their life. $1,200 and say, Lord, raise up three more to give $1,200. Ask God to raise up others to join you. We got a well. $2,400, somebody matches you. But there's some of you as a couple, as an individual, as a small business, as a church group, prayer group. We've got children who spend time raising the funds to drill a well. Very young children. So when it's in your heart to do it, you can do it. And there's some of you right now who say, you know, God's blessed me. I can give a well. I want to ask you to take your bank card and use it like a check, would you? That's how you use them. And make the gift God put on your heart. If you write a check, make it to Life, but we need you to call and tell us you're putting it in the mail. We need to know it's coming. We need to let the missionaries and those that are drilling the wells know you can count on us. We're going to be able to fund it. Would you make that call? If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can go there and make the gift. We've got some blessed gifts for you to be an inspirational blessing in your life. We want to send them to you to say thank you so much. Please go to the phone or go online and make that gift, and thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, a beautiful new daily devotional to begin and end your day in God's presence. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Morning and Evening, I Will Praise You, a 2-CD collection of 20 instrumental hymns and a companion book that shares the stories behind each hymn. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water, by artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
This instrumental, praise and beautiful hymns, is going to bless you. And then the book that gives you the stories, the inspiration, and how the hymns came to be written. Beth Moore's book, Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, for any gift, we want to send it to you. And then I want to mention that if you'd like to have this incredible Hope is Contagious by Dr. Ken Hutcherson, we will send it to you. What a journey he's been on, and what an inspiration he'll be to you. We'll gladly send it to you. And there's his website if you just want to say, what's he got to help me in my journey in addition to this? Because I can promise you, he does. You heard him on our program last fall in a very important moment and a very important message. Would you join us in thanks to Ken and Pat? Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate both of you. And God bless you in your journey. We win. He wins. Thank all of you. Again, we thank you so much for helping us share water all around the world.
You can't just learn this kind of stuff everywhere. This is stuff you have to learn on Wednesdays with a blonde. You do.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.